In the words of country music icon Garth Brooks, I've got friends in low places, and this is the Fat Man Chronicles.
I was not hiding. I was unsure. And now
welcome to episode 68 of the Fat Man Chronicles. I'm Pete, and I'm flying solo tonight because Gretchen wanted no part of this discussion, and you'll find out why. But we are still a regular couple on the journey with you to health, fitness, weight loss, and a better life. We're going to get right into it. We're going to jump over to a roundtable discussion that I had with John Harris and Rob Bozovich from the Endurance for Everyone podcast. So, with no further ado, let's take it away. So here we are with a little special edition, a crossover episode with Fat Man Chronicles and Endurance for Everyone. I've got John Harris and Rob Bozovich with me tonight. John, how are you?
I'm good. I just got back from swimming, so I'm still cold.
Cold inside in Florida.
Well, you know how, yeah, well, I'm cold inside all the time. It's just how I am.
Nice.
But, you know, that chill gets in you. It takes a while to get out of you.
Sure. Awesome. Yeah. Rob, how are things in the great northeast of Pennsylvania?
Loving life, man. It's a balmy 43 degrees outside, which I look at the forecast upcoming. I don't understand it. It's going to be like cold one day over the weekend and like rain. And then like 3 days later, it says 53 and snow. Like, I think they might have mixed up those weather predictions. Yeah, how you get snow on the hotter day, I don't understand, but whatever.
Well, it's Pennsylvania.
Yes.
You never know.
That's right. It's 73 right here now.
Wow. Well. let's not go there. My older two are with their mom and stepdad Larry down in Florida, so they were very
so
excited. What's that?
They know. Where are they at?
Why do we ask questions like that, John, when I don't know the answer?
You don't know where your kids are.
I do. It's just not off the top of my head.
They're in Florida.
They're in Florida. It's in the 80s. That's all I know.
Yeah, during the day it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm going to look just... Thanks for making me look like a terrible father
of the year, man.
Yeah.
It'll be the most awesome edit where he'll drop the city name in there later.
No, yeah. I'm not. That's the one thing where... Hey, both shows, right? We're authentic. We are...
It's true.
This is what you get.
Warts and all, man.
I know Florida's a large state, so there's somewhere in that one. But anyway, so... You'll notice that Gretchen's not with us, and the reason is I wanted to talk about racing. And I was listening to one of my other favorite podcasts, besides Endurance for Everyone, of course, 10 Junk Miles, and they were talking about Ultra Runner of the Year. And within that, they started talking about how a single performance seemed to kind of outweigh people who did multiple performances. And it got me thinking about the fact that since I've kind of really gotten back into running a couple of years ago and joined the online kind of forums and groups, I've noticed a trend of there being especially back of the pack and ultra runners racing a lot. And that seeming to get a lot of accolades from people. And it seems to be really, I don't want to say glorified, but really held in high esteem, I think would be a better way to put it.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get a little roundtable discussion with myself and Rob and John, because I think that there's different perspectives, and I really want to kind of suss this out a little bit, because it's confusing to me why it's this way, and kind of I'm just wondering like if there's some evolution and just get some insights.
Well, who wants to go first?
Yeah. So I think I would love to John, I actually want to start with you because I think that you've, you know, got the coaching perspective as well as, you know, the athlete perspective. And I know you and Rob both have been doing this for a while. So I kind of want to hear from you guys first. And, you know, we'll just have a conversation. But give us a little bit of your background, just a touch on the racing side, and then kind of where you fall with that.
Yeah, so just pretend like nobody knows who I am, right?
Because exactly.
We know everybody knows who I am. But so I've been doing this for, 8 years? And what I've noticed is that, and I think Rob will agree with this, I think when you first start off, you do race a lot more. I think it's just because it's new, I guess, is the easiest way to say it, right? That when you're new to it and you're trying to get your feet and you're trying to, I guess, find yourself in whatever racing, if it's just running, if it's running or cycling or triathlon or whatever it is. And then it kind of goes through evolutions. At least for myself, when I first started, I was racing almost every weekend. And because I felt satisfaction from it, you know, you get a passion for it, you know, but as we all know, passion can be good, but passion can be dangerous too. So it goes from passion to obsession, and then you figure it out as you go along. If you really want to get better, you have to have some space in between races. So I think now I know the magazine, Ultra Runner magazine, probably where 10 Jung Miles was getting that from. So do you read that magazine?
I don't. Rob, do you?
No, I don't. And my question, John, it's called Ultra Runner.
I've also heard of another one called
Was it Marathon and Beyond as well?
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. This one's called Ultra Running.
Okay.
And usually you get Barnes & Noble. I don't know what you have up there in the, you know, in the boonies up there, but you still got to be Dalton Bookseller.
Nice. Rob can only go to the library to get a book.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I think... Yeah, and their argument there, I think, really comes down to, now I didn't listen to the show, so you'll have to, you know, you can fill me in more about what they said, but I think it comes down to the people, the better you get in the sport, the less you race. I just find that to be true. And, you know, like people that race triathlon and race Kona, they may have a tune-up race or two before Kona, and then they race Kona, and then they're done. But you see the amateur athletes that are trying to get to Kona, they're racing once a month,
right?
You know, things like that. So I think just the better you get. So I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that assessment. That, you know, them saying like the ultra runner, there's a reason why the one that runs once gets that accolade over the ones that race it many times. But let's hear what Rob thinks.
Well, I could, you know, talk the entire show and talk in circles here. But so without, I don't want to say repeating what John said, I agree with everything John said and the reasons he said it. And that is, I think all athletes in all sports, I'm generalizing, all athletes in all sports go through the same arcs. And that is, you know, you're new. You don't know anything about it. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, these races, these events exist. And you know, there's this one's 5 minutes away and this one's 20 minutes. And then before you know it, it's only 2 hours and you just jump into all of them. And jumping to some takeaways we can talk about later. You know, I do know some people that will use some races as training events or training, like long training runs for the goal event. Like if I have a marathon, the year that I did the marathon, it was in September. So building up through the year, I did 5K, 10K, half, you know, and multiples in there. So I just subbed them right in as I was building up. And then the years to come, you know, it's hard if you do well in something or as you're seeing improvement to not go back to something that's familiar. Well, I did that race last year, so now I want to do it again and I want to try to improve. And in that first few years, you're making those improvements. So it's hard to give up something that you might have done a few years in a row. And pretty soon your calendar gets really full and you're racing a lot. But to John's point, or that everybody I think knows inherently, and that is, you know, elites, you know, professional athletes, no matter what sport they're in, aren't performing at their top peak every single, you know, time that they venture out, which is what, you know, you can't, you know, you have to have some downtime, you know, you have to focus on one or two or three big events a year. And that's where amateurs, I think, do vary and try to jump into a lot more, a lot more often than they should. But that's because you're making the strides and you feel superhuman as you're doing it. The only part, I guess, you know, to add to that, that kind of the question, I think there was a question in there, and that was along the lines of, you said the kind of online, you know, and we, the back of pack and the amateur athletes are giving the accolades. I do think that there's a, I don't want to say a group mentality or like the beehive, but we're in the groups online, we're in the various Facebook groups or forums, or, and we're reading the magazines, and you know, you want to be supportive of other people. So nobody wants to be a downer, and not, I don't want to say nobody, there might be some, but you know, somebody's out there saying, I did this, I did this, I did this. You're going to give it a like, you're going to give it a thumbs up, you're going to give it a, how did you do, or, you know, good job, or keep it going. You know, you're not going to say, I don't know, you just raced 2 weeks ago, you really should take some time off.
Yeah. And if you do, you better stand back because you're going to get clobbered.
I think that brings up a few things. One, I don't want to get stuck on the elites. That was just kind of what got me thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know, we could spend an entire, you know, hour talking about how that all works, but mm-hmm. it's really along the lines of the everyday runner. So, you know, maybe I'm just different. I just don't race all that often. And it brings up a really interesting point to me, which is, Rob, you mentioned, they'll use them as training runs. Okay, well, mm-hmm. then that's not racing, right? So
right.
that's much, much different. Is that what's really going on? It's just people are completing races as just runs in order to kind of collect medals?
I think that is true. I think that is true to some extent. I think they're calling them races, but they're really training runs. They're really getting ready for some major thing.
Years ago, a couple of years ago, John, you had made a point, a distinction of saying it, and I've heard others say this as well, others in our group as well, and that's you won't call them your races. You'll call them your events that are coming up. You know, but right. that being said, is technically you go and look at it. You know, I'm going to go last year, myself as an example, after Chicago, I did the Marine Corps, and a week later I did Fire on the Mountain. Okay, so that's three marathon length races within 4 weeks of each other. But you know, Chicago was my A race goal. I was doing Fire on the Mountain because I was extending it to kind of, I'm going to say, check the box as my first ultra event. So it was going to be a PR no matter what I did. Marine Corps, I jumped in and paced a friend. Marine Corps Marathon is a race. Did I do a fairly decent time? Yeah, I helped, had a great time, had a good finish with it. But, you know, I didn't go out there to PR. I didn't necessarily use it as a training run because I already had everything down. You know, I just went and just did it, but did
it. You went to have fun, though. I mean, it was just really to support somebody else. And
yeah. And it's all different, I guess I'd say, reasonings. But that's why I think sometimes when people are putting it out there, I'm doing this, they just might be using the term, I'll say, I'm going to do this race, but not necessarily saying I'm racing this.
Right. And coming from the coaching perspective, I mean, I'll ask somebody if they say, I want to do this race. I said, well, this is a race or an event. I'll ask them that because, you know, I have one that has three marathons in 4 months. I think I mentioned this on the other show. And her question to me was, how do I train for three marathons in 4 months? I said, you don't. You train for one.
Right.
You know, use the other two as kind of like gear ups. You know, you don't go in to do your personal best in all three. You're not going to do it, for one thing. You're too close together. But
As a coach, are you looking to say PR, you know, if you're, so I'm assuming this person wants to PR one of these races. So if you do, are you saying, look, you should be training to PR that first one and then doing the next two, or?
No, the other way around, I think.
Really?
I would train them. Well, I did. I am training them to use the first two is kind of like getting the miles on your feet, feeling it out, and trained to PR that last one. You're not pushing on the first two. Now, other coaches might say, you know, say different, so I'd be interested in that anyway. But, yeah, or even if there's three of them, maybe go to PR the second one and then use the last one as like a cool down. You know, it depends. And it also depends on what, you know, what's important to them. I mean, as if the first, you know, as if the one they want to do is say Boston, I'm making stuff up now.
Sure.
And that happens to be the first one of the three. And that's the one that's important to you. Then we'll train for the first one. You know, we'll change it around, but don't expect to do Boston and then a month later do another one and be better.
Right.
One is going to be a different race anyway, but.
Is this person coming in, just out of curiosity, with multiple marathons under their belt already?
No, these are their first ones.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think most coaches are like this. This is like, no coach is really going to say, don't do that.
Well, and
you know, we're going to say my answer to that is going to be, well, that's going to be a challenge, but if you want to do that, let's figure out a way to do it.
I guess
that's how my coaches used to say to me, you know, so.
I don't mean to pick on your athlete here at all, but I think it's just a really, really good example of this. And I'm going to use myself in here as an example and then kind of come back. So I wanted to, and I'm not throwing Andy under the bus here either. I mean, this is a conversation we had, and I think that he ended up being right in it. And it was good advice, you know, coming from the coach. So coming off the marathon, right, we had the conversation of what's next. And
oh yeah,
I started talking about, you know, maybe I want to run a half and try to PR it. And, you know, to do that, I was thinking, well, you know, I could probably do that in a fairly short amount of time, you know, maybe in May. And Andy was really hesitant. He didn't come right out and tell me not to do it. Right.
Right.
I don't think that's none of our places to tell anybody what to do.
Right.
Even as a coach, like, but he strongly encouraged me to reconsider it. And I think in the end, I kind of swung around to his way of thinking. And that's where I want to talk to you about your athlete. Mm-hmm. At what point, though, do you have to have the discussion of, look, you've never run a marathon. Now you're going to try to run three of them in 4 months.
Sometimes.
At what point do you have to have an injury conversation? Because isn't that just begging for an injury?
Yes. And sometimes I think along the lines as what my first coach ever, this is not Megan, this is a coach I had a long time ago when I was racing all the time, and I was racing with Jennifer Cultrera all the time. And she was one of these people that would say, well, I don't know about this, but you know, if you want to do it, let's figure out a way to do it. And she was almost to the type, it's like, I'm going to let you find out for yourself. Because if you've never run a marathon, you don't know what it feels like, you know? And so my thought is, I'm going to help you, you know, I'm going to help you do this. I'm going to throw out the plan. Is like I've talked before, you know, it's about, we're not going to look at the races and the events as the goal. We're going to look at the system and figure out a system that's going to get you to these places. But you're going to run that first one, and you're going to reconsider on yourself the next two. So...
Yeah,
you know,
that's. I mean,
once you feel how that feels, you're gonna. It's gonna get in your own head. You'll learn. And, you know, but you know what? They may handle it fine. You know, I know how I felt. I'm sure how you felt afterwards, but I know how I felt after my first one.
Yeah, it's pretty fresh.
There was. I mean, I ran, and you were out there with 3 hours less than I was. Right? What did you finish in?
5 hours 40 minutes.
Yeah, my first one was 7 hours.
Wait a minute, and 3 seconds. I don't want anybody to go look up a result and then ding me on the social medias.
Yeah. You liar.
We did stop and take a picture.
That's transparency there.
Yeah, I did see that picture.
That's my fault.
Sorry, you just lost 20 seconds there,
man. That was fantastic. That was such a great sign.
That's what irritates me about the Disney Marathon, though, is all these people like stopping to take pictures with these, you know, with all the characters, and they're still passing me. You know, they're standing in line to take pictures with Chip and Dale and still passing me a mile down the road.
They're getting a little rest. It's like a little mini rest.
My God.
It's built-in run walk right there. It's a built-in Galloway method.
That's right. They're just helping you out. And Galloway's the sponsor of that race. So
there you go. So I guess the point being that I could go run another marathon now.
Yeah.
The question really becomes, should I? And you know, after that marathon, you know, Rob will attest that I was doing really well through the half.
Mm-hmm.
And I think still really well through about 16.
16 is where I hit my, when I did mine, 16 to 20 were miserable. That's where my spot was. So I don't know where yours was, but.
Yeah, mine was, you know, when my back seized up sometime around 18, 19.
Yeah.
I was actually, I think, physically, other than the back happening, I was in decent shape. Right. From a cardio perspective, I didn't really feel that bad. So yeah. I felt like from that perspective, I was pretty good. But what it really taught me is how much more well-rounded I've got to be in order to get these races done. Like I've got to get my hips really strengthened, my glutes, my core. I've got to get a more well-rounded, I've got to be well more rounded physically in order to go attack these things. So
yeah. Are you doing weight training at all or anything like that?
Well, no, I'm doing body weight training now.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah. Weight training. There's plenty of body weight to cause
remember,
that
I put,
to be.
I put out that the formula to figure out how much weight you're lifting when you do a push-up. Cause it was always, intrigued me.
I didn't watch that.
You didn't see that?
Yeah, that's.
I missed that.
So I mean, there's a long formula, basically. So at me at 275, a normal push up, not from the knees or anything like that, I'm basically doing sets with 158 pounds. So that's the taking into account all the things. It's out there somewhere, Rob. I mean, I put it out there.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I'll Google it.
Yeah, and it's same thing for squats. You can do air squats. You're lifting weight.
Oh,
you're
I do.
Your body weight. Yeah, you're lifting your body weight. And the more you weigh, the more you're lifting. It comes out to Rob to be about 58% of your body weight on average.
I can remember that.
And about 35 to 36% for an air squat of your body weight. So it's a way to kind of figure out what it is. So, you know, if heavy, like I have arthritis in my whole body, so I have a hard time doing push-ups anyway. So if you're doing 10 sets of 10, you know, you're lifting a good bit of weight there. Go to a gym and lift 160 pounds 10 times.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing. So.
Yeah, for sure. And for me, I've been really concentrating on strengthening my hips because that's where my back problems, originated, was from my hips. And I even bought those resistance bands so that
that's
could
a good thing
to build up.
Yeah, I mean, I use those for my hips as well. So, you know, you stretch them out.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, and that's just it. But, you know, kind of getting back to racing, you said, you know, you see this at the beginning. I didn't really, I mean, I did a few races, but I mean, I'm seeing people run 15, 20, 30, 40 races a year.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I'm going to call it, you know, bunny quotes, shorter distances, right? And then ultra runners, you know, I'm seeing run, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 events a year.
And I think another thing to, I guess, when you're just starting out, part of this, and at least with my, I can only speak for myself, but because at the beginning you improve so quickly, you know, there's a point where you kind of, you kind of hit that tipping point where you kind of slow down. In swimming, you can see it a lot. That you know you get fast really fast and then you kind of level off and it takes forever to get like a second faster or 2 seconds faster, and I think when you're just starting to run or you're just coming off the couch like I was and you're just starting to do these things. I mean, you run your first triathlon, your sprint triathlon. It took you mine took almost 4 hours, you know, to do a sprint triathlon. And then the next one I did, which was 2 weeks later, I went from that to 2 hours and 15 minutes. It was like it just improved so quickly. So when you're seeing improvements that fast, you want to keep doing it. You know, I agree with you
on that, John. Yeah. But I'm gonna jump in and I'm gonna take it a different direction. And somebody we've all talked about, and Pete and I, we both ran with her. I'm gonna say Karen. Is an example of doing a million races. I'm going to say events. I don't know if she would call them racing events or however she would do it, but this is just, and this is all I'm going to say said with love. And as I say it, going out and running with you, Pete, going out and running with Karen, at least the event we did when I did it there, okay? I raced Chicago, and I was down and out from a tired, worn down perspective because I went, you know, at capacity for that race. I was able to go from Marine Corps 1 week to Fire on the Mountain the next week, and respective after both of those races, I was in much better. I don't want to say no. I'm not saying rested, you know, but I was much better able to recover quicker to get back into another. I'm going to say back into the swing of things. You know, 1 or 2 days after I was able to run, and that was just slowing from, you know, an 8:45 pace in Chicago to just over a 10 for Marine Corps, you know, mm-hmm. enabled me to get to the Fire in the Mountain. And then, you know, Karen and I did a lot of walking in that race, you know, a lot more walking than running on the trail, and the trail's a lot softer. I can't speak for every ultra athlete and every ultra they do. And a lot of these people can be pushing at what would be my capacity, but might not be theirs. You know, they might be able to go out and drop a consistent 6 minute mile on the track, and they're slowing down to an 8 minute mile. You know, I think it's all about where you're at in reference to what your maximum can be. Yeah. And that's why a lot of these this goes back, I'm going to say a decade ago. I don't remember his name now. I forget. He was actually in Runner's World. I felt like a rock star whenever I was at the Erie Marathon. I had just read an article about this older gentleman. I don't remember how old, whether he was in his 60s, 70s, 80s. I don't know, but he's one of these. He does a marathon every single weekend, sometimes two in a weekend. And they had this little clip in an article where, you know, he showed him, he goes from one, changes in his car, gets on the airplane, goes and does one the next day. But when he was racing, you know, once again, if he tries to race at a PR, it's 2 hours faster than what he's doing all these other events. You know, and once again, he's not racing them. He's just competing in them. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm coming back to the ultra. What I found is I'm a lot slower when I'm out on the trails than when I'm out on the asphalt trying to, you know, really lay it down. And I think that just builds in. I'm not as fatigued coming out of it, and I can recover quicker. So, yeah, I think you can do a lot more hypothetically ultra events in a year than I'm trying to PR at a marathon.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. I mean, it's a totally different type of racing for sure. And you're going to be able – I found that once I've started trail running and doing more of that, that I recover a lot faster.
The question that I really it comes down to for me, so if you're using them as training runs mm-hmm. – would you run that in a training run though? Like are ultra marathoners, if they're not doing an event, going out and running 50 miles?
Yeah, they are.
So I'm not seeing that with the people that I'm following. I'm not seeing that outside of races with any of them. Like they're capping out at 30-ish and then maybe doing 20 the next day. But they're not doing 50-mile training runs. And I guess that's the same point like for a marathoner, right? So if you're saying I'm going to use this as a training run, you're not really going out and running 26.2 miles as a training run, right?
No, you're not. Right.
So I guess that's where this kind of falls apart to me. On the shorter distances, I can kind of see it, right? Because you might run 14 miles on a training run to do a half marathon. If you can go those kinds of distances, going and doing a 10K or a 5K in a race environment versus a training run is probably not that big a deal. It's these longer distances that are more intriguing, I guess, to me. And are we perpetuating it in these groups because they seem to get an inordinate amount of attention if you run and if you race a lot versus somebody who's just out doing their training runs? I don't know. Am I seeing this incorrectly, or are we putting these things on a pedestal a little bit?
I don't think you're seeing them
incorrectly. I hear what you're saying. And once again,
go ahead, Rob.
Go ahead, John.
Nice. This is great pod.
That's it.
We're behaving because it's not our show.
There you go. All right, Rob, go ahead.
If you go back to whenever John and I last year, a year ago, I'm going to talk quickly about myself last year and this year and differences, similarities. I've never been a person that posts every single one of my workouts, you know, or even the majority of them. Like, I posted the one in the weight loss group here just because I thought it repeated what I had texted you and John. I thought it would be, I was being funny, you know. I wasn't habitually doing that. But last year, I was keeping that training log that we were putting out on John's, you know, website. And I, therefore, I was putting every single one of those workouts on, you know, in the E4E group, Facebook group, whenever I was doing it. So I only did that once again through, you know, through May, and then I laid off and I didn't do that. But, you know, last year, and this is 10 years in for me, was the most amount of, you know, marathons or big events that I've done in a year. I did 4 of them, 1 in the spring and 3 in the fall. This year, I might come away with 5 in the year. You know, and it's, this isn't a year one. When I originally started, you know, I this is back before Facebook was really, I guess, even a big thing a decade ago, so to say, what these groups weren't around, but it was, you know, Map My Runs and those, all those other little, you know, apps where you'd have your own little networks there. And, you know, what you was getting accolades, I'm going to say Strava, but that wasn't what I was using. You know, I was getting the accolades for that, but I did 1 marathon. Then I took a year off. Then I did another marathon. And I've kind of built up to now where I did, like I said, 4 last year, maybe 5 this year. So I want to say I feel like I've evolved past posting my training runs, because the other day, you know, and I get it, still can be a big workout for people when you're building up to it, but I, bunny quotes, just went out for a 4.5 miler. You know what I mean? To me, I'm past posting because I know I can do that. So I guess I'm not looking for that validation from that. So I may only put up the race or put up the long run, or if I did nail a tempo run. And personally, I'm not that guy. I just don't, I don't put those out there. So it's weird to me because I didn't even realize I was on Strava, but lately I've been getting the email updates, everybody giving me kudos. Yeah. It's weird to me to see that because I forgot about that too. That's my personal opinion and take on some of it. You know?
Well, but you're assuming that people are posting looking for validation, and I'm not sure that's always true.
That's where I was going to go, Pete. That's where I was going to go with that, too.
You know, I think that I post.
I'm not saying that.
Oh, sorry. We don't. I didn't mean to talk over.
Everybody's talking now.
Yeah.
Because I don't. I mean, I can just tell you for myself. I mean, you know, probably at the beginning, I was looking for that validation for myself. The reason I post now, especially in that weight loss group, is to show people, okay, here's, you know, I tell you, I'll be right open about what I weigh. You know, and that it hurts and it sucks. But what I'm trying to show people is that, okay, here's this 55-year-old, 272-pound guy, and he's doing this. So I'm trying to help other people see that they can do it. I'm not really looking at the attaboys for myself anymore. I was at the beginning, but it's not really what's driving me posting this anymore.
Similar and in agreement with John, I'm saying this goes back to the, when I said everybody I think goes through the arc, when I was first doing this and posting all that stuff is when I was, you know, 285, 290 pounds, working my way back down in weight. And for the better part of half a decade, I kept telling or saying to everybody, you know, that it was the look, I'm not saying look at me, but it's look at me. If I can do it, you can do it. And right. I realize now that I'm on the opposite end of that. So to say, well, if I can do it, you can do it. But, you know, I've evolved. I have a bike full of a garage full of bikes. I have, you know what I mean, several half Ironmans and multiple marathons and all of these things under my belt. You know, I'm on the upper end of that learning curve to now where I want to help and give the knowledge. And that's why, and this was John, one of the first things I said, maybe on your show, or maybe it was before I was even on as a co-host, somebody else had said it, and I parroted that. I was stepping away from marathoning for a bit because I was to the point where I know I could do the distance, and I didn't want to be that guy that went out and did a 6-hour marathon because I didn't want to be, when I say artificially taking the cheers from other people, I didn't want the spectators to be there with the, you can do it, you know, because that's like, I know I can do it. I wanted to, I think the way I'd said it is, I wanted to be the kind of guy that can go run a marathon and do it well, you know, I didn't want to go out there and have all those problems. I needed to figure out my nutrition, my training in order to be able to get out there and do it consistently. You know, that's where I wasn't able to race high volumes. And that's kind of that Jan Brady stuck in the middle. Like I knew, I knew where I was at. I knew that I had been better. And the things why I wasn't being better was the decisions I was making. And I don't know if that makes sense, but that's a part of the evolution. I saw this great swing, and then it's like a stalling, and then it's a readjustment. Now it's more quality that I'm trying to put in.
Right. Well, I think we went through this on the show once, Rob, and this is the problem when you've been around for a while, you know, and you gain new people in the group, new listeners to the show, things like that. They forget that you used to be 280 pounds, right? And that's what we had to bring that back up, because people were like saying, well, of course he can. He's 200 pounds, you know, things like that. He's 33 years old or whatever, how old you are. You know, of course he can do this. You know, what does he have? It's kind of like I talked about way back when we had Ben Greenfield on the original Iron Man Year One show with Andrew, that when we had him on, and my last question to him was, have you ever been overweight? You know? And Andrew got so mad at me for saying that. And I said, because my point is, you don't know what it's like to run at 280 pounds. So you can't tell me, you know, you can tell me the science, and you can tell me this and this and this and this, but you don't know what it feels like. You know, when I tell you that my feet are hurting, Rob, you know what it feels like because you used to be there. But I think because we've gained new listeners, people don't know that about you. We had to remind people that you did come from this, and you do, and that's, I don't know where I was really going for that, but I was thinking, you know, that, you know, like me putting it out there as I do, because I'm trying to still motivate other people that are like me, you know,
that's what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that every person that puts something on Facebook or puts it out there, wherever they put it out, is needing that validation. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm saying that was my arc, and I think that people go through it. I wanted that validation at first, and I'm to the point now where, you know, I do believe that I'm going to say at least half of the people putting their things out there are trying to be that beacon of light, or that, you know, that leader, or that, you know, that for those other people. And that's why they're putting them out there. I do believe they're coming from a good place, not just the selfish need of validation.
Well, and we get that.
And that's why I've not been doing it.
And we get that. We get that in the group, because there's people that post every run, you know, Christine Cox, Amanda Hendry, they post every time they run. And I got a comment once, because whenever they post, especially those two, you know, this sounds ridiculous, I know, but this is how ridiculous it gets sometimes, is that I always use the heart icon on theirs. And they said, well, why do you use the heart icon on theirs, but not on the other people's? I said, because they do it every day. You know, there's an example of someone's going out there every day and doing it. And, you know, so, you know, it's a ridiculous social media thing, but, I find that myself, I find that encouraging when I see someone doing it every day.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. I mean, I do too, and I think though that plays into the same question in a way, because I take rest days. I do, and sometimes when I shouldn't, but you know, I try to minimize those as much as possible. So I'm not every day. I'm not, and I'm kind of through posting every day, and mine was more like just kind of a pain. So, I mean, if you want to know what I'm doing, follow me on Strava and you know, you'll know. Right. And Christine and Amanda are fantastic. So I hope they don't take this the wrong way, but I think it's the same thing though. Right. To me, it's, if I tried to run 10, I'll use Christine, right? She's awesome, right? She's pretty quick.
10 miles a day.
10 miles every single day. If I tried to do that, I wouldn't be able to walk, you know, it for a long time. Now, eventually you build up to it, right? Is my guess. But at the same time, I think that for beginning runners to go out there daunting. And get so excited and race all the time or do too much training, you're looking at flaming out, right? You're trying to burn way too hot sometimes.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long Christine's been running. My guess is quite a long time.
A long time. Yeah.
You know, so she's different, right? If I tried to log an 80-mile week like my brother can do, you know, running 3-hour and sub 3-hour marathons, I'm going to get hurt. Could I build up to it eventually? Sure. But you can't come out of the gate with it. So when you come out of the gate and you run, you know, 8 half marathons your first year, I'm just, my concern really comes back to injury. And are we just encouraging somebody to do the wrong thing?
By
making it look really good.
Can I ask, I jump in and ask, play devil's advocate there for you, Pete, though? Okay. Sure. And let me say it to you this way. You just went through, I'm going through Hansen's plan, which is different. Okay. And we'll talk about that in just a second. You went through Andy's plan. Okay. How many times did you go over 13 miles in the last third of that you were training for that marathon?
Your weekly long run. I mean,
once a week for maybe 6 weeks.
There would be a cutback week.
You went out and did. So, okay, maybe five then. You put up and did five plus the marathon for six. So you did six because you just said people racing, we'll just say a dozen. You know, that averages out to once a month. But we obviously know they're going to condense those down, maybe one every weekend or one every other weekend. You were doing that inadvertently in your full plan, your full, you know, marathon training plan. You just weren't signing up for the races.
You weren't doing it as an event.
I think that comes down to that. What is your utmost capacity? You know, once again, you know, is if you are out trying to race a half marathon, you're doing one pace. But if you're out on your training run, you're doing it at a different pace. You know, and that's why, like, it's just variations on where you're at.
Well,
at the point where I'm at now in my Hansen plan, 2-3 weeks out from my target race, I'm doing almost 3 half marathons a week, you know, like Tuesday, Thursday, and on my Saturday run, you know, so I'm doing almost that distance now. But this is the third training cycle that I'm doing it a decade in to where I'm at.
Yeah.
That's just built to this.
Yeah. That's the part, right? I spent 2 years building a base to do that training plan.
Yeah.
You spent 10 years, you know, training to do that. When I'm talking about people where I see them coming out of the gate year one, you know, they do the first one, then they get hooked and then they do a bunch, right? Also, maybe everybody else is more disciplined than I am, but I will contend that it is.
I'm
going to
agree with you, Pete, and say, I think those people would do better not racing as often. And if they did it smarter, but these are all the pitfalls that I'm going to say over 75% of people are going to do. Like John said earlier, you're seeing improvements. You're loving this new life. You're loving what you're doing. You know, you just want to do it all the time. You know, we've all been there, whether it's this hobby or another one where we all just jump in with 2 feet and we're going,
right?
You know?
So the other part of that, though, that I think is important, and everybody on this planet might be more disciplined than I am. That would not be a far stretch. I could not toe the line in a race and just make it a training run week in and week out.
I
wouldn't be able to do that. Now, I'm going to put that to the test, but it's only because I'm running with other people. And, you know, Rob running the marathon with me really got me kind of on this. I think I can do it if I'm running with somebody else and I'm kind of running their race in a way, right?
Yeah.
And then I don't have a problem. But if I get on the line right now at a 10K,
you're racing.
I'm gonna race that thing.
Yeah.
I don't like people passing me. That sucks. I want to go a little bit quicker. And I would say that for me, that goes all the way to a half marathon, like where I would want to get out there and race it. That said, I did pull back last year in August. I think it was in August that I ran the half marathon in Milwaukee. Or in Madison, sorry, in Madison, I get confused with W's and M's, and there's a lot of them in that whole Madison, Milwaukee, Wisconsin thing. So, but at the Madison, I did pull back.
This dyslexia is backwards. What's it when it's upside down?
Yeah, right. So I didn't race it, but I still couldn't go as slow as I planned, right? Because you're in a race. In the end, you're in a race. So yeah, I think I kind of get, you know, kind of swept up in it and pulled forward. So this is where I probably can't get it through my mind because I couldn't do it.
Yeah, and I think that's a – everybody's made up differently in this, you know. And I wrote – there was a blog post I wrote. I think it was within the first year or two that I was writing it. So it's still out there called Killer Instinct. And my joke is that I don't have one. And Jennifer used to laugh at me because if my training plan called for loops around Flatwoods at 17 miles an hour, I was doing loops around Flatwoods at 17 miles an hour. I could care less who passed me, you know, and I'm the same way in a race. If I know this is a training run, this is a race, but it's a training race to get to somewhere else. And I'm shooting for a 13 minute mile on the run and a 17 on the bike. That's what I'm going to do. And I could care less who passes me.
So and, John, you've trained a lot of athletes. So, I mean, yeah. On the bell curve, where do you think that falls though?
I think most people have a hard time when they get in a race.
Right. So
I think that's just, but I do think that's a type. It's a type, you know, and
Can I interject one answer?
I don't have
that
gene in me. Yeah.
Right.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Rob.
Okay. Hey, Pete.
Yeah.
Has anyone else ran with you prior to me running with you in that race?
So the only other times, so I did team and training many, many moons ago, and we would do training runs together. When I got to the race, nobody around really.
Right.
Since I really started back to running,
I don't mean like a training partner. I meant in an event.
Other than you and Karen at the,
right,
whatever that was, marathon on the mountain half. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. I think, and this is one of those, like, you have to be there type of things. And I just, when I say happen to get lucky, and I guess I picked that up early on, although it didn't really set in until 8 years later. And I say that because as I was typing, I'm sorry, as I was getting ready to go race with you, I actually thought of the guy, John Mason. I believe he's in the Indiana State or Indianapolis, down that direction, and actually pulled up his email, you know, and sent him, fired him one off, you know, and basically said, hey, you probably don't remember me, but, you know, he met up with me in the Erie Marathon when I was at mile 16 and walking and thought I wanted to die. And he, when I say sacrificed his race and ran in and ran it in with me, you know, and I want to say he was looking for me or someone like me, because he was, you know, he had the little beeper on his hat. He just was there to enhance somebody else's race experience. And he helped get me across the line. And a couple times through the years after that, like I paced like my brother-in-law and some friends and so forth, and then kind of fell out of it for a while. But going out and pacing my, my friend at Marine Corps, and then going out and doing it with you, you know, when you're going to do that with somebody, I don't really think best way to say it is you don't really have the desire to do it until somebody really does it for you and makes it really meaningful for you. You know, I think that's the thing is I think Karen doing it for you and me, like you had instantly said, I want to pay this forward. And I think the first time that you do that, you'll be able to see, you know, I guess what it's all about. I don't know. I can't say it any other way.
Yeah, I think I think I'm going to love doing that. And I could go do that, no problem. And I could encourage that person, mm-hmm. whether they were going slow or not. Like, hey, you're doing great, and let's just keep it moving, and, you know, relentless forward progress. I'm good with that. It's the individual part that I would struggle with, right? So take the marathon, Rob. We passed a lot of people because, you know, we started DFL. Because I needed a bathroom. So, you know, we passed a lot of people. And then we got passed by four or five people at the end. And I wasn't happy. I was in a lot of pain with my back, but I was really unhappy about that. And I wasn't I wasn't really racing. I was just trying to get the race done. And that was my stated goal. And I think I did okay with that overall. But I did get a flicker in there of what could happen, which will probably get me back out there to do it again. But I couldn't see myself just kind of waltzing through without having somebody else there. So
you're like Jennifer. When I've probably told the story before, but Jennifer is always the type that when we started off, she hates people passing her. And we would be doing our plan, like I said, doing like a 17-mile-an-hour loops around Flatwoods, and some guy would come by us, or some woman would come by us doing 20, and you can just see her whole posture would change. She would start crunching down into a little ball, and she'd be gone. And she didn't care if she was leaving me. She was going to catch him because she hated being passed. She has the same kind of mentality.
I guess, you know, I guess I got to make sure that I'm not throwing. I don't mind being passed when I'm running my race. Right. But if I'm not giving my best effort, or I think I could be doing better.
Yeah.
That's when I would have a problem with it. And at the marathon, I felt like I could have been doing better.
And, you know,
said another way, you were feeling really good physically and mentally until you hit that misstep. And we went into the half and you looked good, felt good. Everything was going great. And you got a time goal in you had a time goal mindset after that. And then it started slipping away and you felt like you were failing yourself. That's what I observed, at least, or feel like that you were saying at that time.
Sure. And I guess I think at that moment, it did, and it took me a few miles to kind of come back to it. But I, you know, to tie it back into the topic, that's why I'm not sure I could go in race week in and week out like some people do without having that competitive spirit rear its head. And it's less about the result in the end and more about the process of giving your best to improve.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah. But sometimes giving your best to improve is backing off. You know, and
right. Then why am I going to enter a race? That's right, the part because, that I can't wrap my head around.
Yeah. Right. And I agree with you there, you know, not even speaking of that, but even financially, why would you do it? Because these races aren't cheap, some of them, but
you get a shiny medal.
You get that shiny medal. You become a medal collector, you know, and I tell you, if you look at my wall right now, I've got like 10 medals hanging up. I've got maybe more than 50 or 60, but I only kept out a few. Just because, you know, at some point it stops being that important. And ultra running, you hardly ever get a medal anymore, you know, unless you win.
So I can't add anything to what you guys are saying other than to go back and say, I feel like we've all been there. And because most of the racing, I should say, like that I did, they weren't medals, they're t-shirts. I got a whole drawer full of them. And I'm going to say that's about, I feel like it's year 1 through 3, maybe, where I felt like I was doing, like you're saying, 5K, 10K. I wasn't improving. I wasn't PRing, but I was jumping in every single one of them that I could. And now, you know what I mean? Like you say, I don't. And I don't want to say, like, I don't know if it's the novelty wore off or if it's back then I was the fat guy. Maybe I had something to prove. You know, I've gone through it. I know exactly what you're saying, why, about people doing it. I know I did it and I'm through it and I'm on the other side. And, you know, I think it's just, like I said, I feel like it's part of the natural arc, whether it's, you know, competition for some people or proving others wrong, or if it's that self, like you're saying, you kind of keep saying about that, if you're trying to improve. I mean, at that point, you're seeing, going back, combining two things we had said here, what John said, you're seeing the improvements. So you're thinking all this racing is making me better. But, you know, maybe in reality, racing half as much would be a better thing for you. But you're so new, you don't know that. You have to get through that learning curve.
Sure.
And on the opposite end, 5-6 years in, you have your base. You know, Pete, you know your body now from 24 months of doing it. Just imagine how much more you're going to know about it in another 24 months. You know what I mean? You're going to know what volume you can handle, what speed, you know, you're going to know all of that. And, you know, and you're just going to continue to refine and, you know, hone your skills. So, not saying you're going to be jumping in and doing more, or saying you're going to be, you know, doing less. I don't have that crystal ball, but, you know, 10 years in, I know where I am. I know I've been through all of that, and it's just different life cycle, different parts of the life cycle of the athlete, I believe.
All right. Well, I'm not sure we came to a conclusion, but it was a good discussion. But I think in the end, people do race a lot. I think we all agree that it's definitely looked at favorably overall, whether it's a good idea or not for some people. And I need to keep understanding that people are different. I say it with weight and diet all the time, and I got to look at this the same way, that everybody's an N equals one. So if Sony wants to go out and race, you know, three times every weekend, you all have had it. I will be there to cheer you on every once in a while.
Yeah, we'll be there, and we'll be there to, you know, pick you up when you pull up lame.
That's the other piece too.
And if you post it enough, John will give it a heart. But occasionally,
right,
we'll just
give it
a
heart.
Up.
Yes, mostly just thumbs up. Only certain people get hearts.
Ah, man, I'm gonna have to go
see,
back.
Now you know
now,
the difference.
Now I got to go back and look at my marathon result to see if John thumbs up.
I believe
there
was a heart on it.
Oh, I hit the big time.
Yeah, you hit that. You got a heart from John.
Jackpot.
I think there was more the wow surprised faces. That would have been the one that I would have expected.
I did a marathon. What?
Wow. Oh, all right, guys. Let's
or the laughing face.
Yeah, right. Let's wrap this up. And thanks so much as always. And John, do you want to give a little shout out where people can find you?
Well, like I said, I assume everybody knows, but you know. Yeah, the show is Endurance for Everyone or Team E4E. It's on all the sites. It's on Podbean, just like yours is. And you can also go to teame4e.com, or the personal blog is fatslowtriathlete.com. And we're all over the place. Team E4E on all the social media platforms.
Awesome. And Rob, I would ask you, except I know you're barely on social, but if you want to drive him nuts, just follow him on Strava and then kudos him.
It's right. And you can still email rob@enduranceforeverybody.com. Everyone.com.
Got to go check it. Can I speak? Not that I haven't spoken enough already this show. Can I speak for just 1 or 2 minutes here?
Yeah.
Just can I go? Can I go off script?
Sure.
You guys both know. Okay. But where are we going to get to on this? And that is way back on our show, when I say John's show, however you going to say it there.
Still our show.
At the end of last year, I was debating what I was going to be doing for this year, and I was debating what was, what racing and this and that, okay? And people are still consistently, weekly sending me, oh, you should do this race, you should do this, and I want to do them all, but I can't. But what it is, I'll tell you the races I'm doing and then the logic behind it. I did the race with Pete. I have the Delaware Marathon, the Delaware Running Festival Marathon coming up April 28th. I did sign up for a week later, Pittsburgh. I'm going to run that with a friend. So my goal, this ties back in, it'll make a little sense. I'm going to try to go for a PR maybe in Delaware. But if I start the race and find out that it's just not my day, Pittsburgh is going to give me another shot a week later. If nothing else, come hell or high water, sorry, Pete, if you have to put explicit on this, I want sub-4 in Pittsburgh because I've got 2 4:02s and I got to get underneath of that. That is just a monkey that I have to get off my back. Then I have a decently long gap. I have Chicago in October, and I'm most likely going back to Fire on the Mountain in the first weekend of November. The big gap in the middle, both of you guys know this, my wife and I had to go through IVF for Connor, and we had an unsuccessful round at the end of last year, but a successful round, and she is due at the end of August. So that is why I have a large gap of everything planned for the middle, because I need to make sure that I'm here to take care of her.
I leave that calendar open if I were you.
Yes. Yes. So everybody keeps asking if I can go to races. No. Connor came 5 weeks early, and so that basically ties up the end of, you know, June through end of August when she is actually due. And then we're gonna have a newborn, traveling out to see Pete in Chicagoland at the 6 week old is gonna be top of the list. So
Personally can't wait. So I think it's gonna be fantastic. Congratulations to you and Heather and Connor, who's gonna be a big brother.
Yes, yes. So he is excited.
Do you know the sex yet?
No, we won't know that for a few more weeks. But okay. And that's the way we keep asking Connor if he wants a baby brother or sister, and he keeps saying sister. But I don't know if that's because we always say brother or sister, and that's the last word, so he just repeats it. So I'm going to start asking if he wants brother or sister or broccoli and see what he says.
Or sister or brother.
Yes.
Right. In the immortal words of my brother, when my mom got pregnant with my youngest brother, I don't want no damn brother. at the age of 3. So, there you go.
Well, if you're going to take a break from things, that's a good reason, Rob.
Yeah. Yes, that's one of the better ones.
Yep.
All right. Well, that really puts us out on a high note now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up. Thanks, guys, for joining me to do this. And
absolutely. Anytime.
I know we'll be talking a lot.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Good night.
All right. I want to thank John and Rob for joining me for that discussion. And for the record, I know where my kids are in Florida. You can message me if you want to quiz me on that. But anyway, as always, we would like to thank our patrons, Amy, Christine, John, Julie, Rob, Linda. We can't do this without you. If you'd like to become a patron, you can go over to podbean.com and find our podcast, and there is a patron button there. You want to learn more about us, go to fatmanchronicles.com. Go ahead and subscribe there, and you can get, I blog weekly, so you can read a little bit more. Also, you can find us on social media at Fatman Stories on Twitter and Instagram and facebook.com/Fatman Stories. And as always, please subscribe and share the podcast, rate and review us. If you could, that would be fantastic. And in the meantime, everyone get out there and be better today. Not hiding, I was unsure, and now